Now, on the line, I have Josephine Dowling, and we're going to be talking about her experience and her journey through a brain tumour diagnosis. Good morning, Josephine. How are you?
Good morning, Michael. Very well, thank you.
Josephine, would you maybe just tell us a little about yourself and what led up to your diagnosis?
Well, I'm 40 years of age now. I got diagnosed at 35. Basically, I work as I'm a guard, and at work, I noticed that I couldn't hear very well answering the phone. I would be right-handed, so it was my left ear that's affected. And when I answered the phone, I could hear people, but I couldn't make out what they were saying. And this was going on for a couple of months at this stage, and it was through working with one of the girls who had her own health problems. She said to me I should go to the doctor because I was flying the following month. So this was February 2015, and I would have been flying the following month, and she said you'd want to get it checked out, just make sure you don't have an ear infection or anything like that. So I did, and my doctor, GP, couldn't see anything when he examined me, but he said he'd write me up a prescription anyway, just to be sure. And halfway through writing that prescription, I just kind of off the cuff mentioned, God, thank God I'm here, because this is going on since before Christmas. And with that, then he just stopped and he said, I think I'll refer you. And I was like, what are you talking about? And he said, there's a thing called, at the time it didn't register with me, but a thing called an acoustic neuroma, and he said it's a brain tumour, it's a benign brain tumour. But he said, don't worry, it's so rare, it's like 8 in a million people get this, so you're not going to have that. But just to be sure, I'll refer you and see what the ENT consultant says. So with that, he did, and I was referred, and I met the ENT consultant, and he initially asked me loads of questions about balance and other stuff and hearing, other than just the hearing, and he thought I was fine, and he's like, go away, I'm flying, which I did. Fine going over, coming back, I thought my head was going to burst, and I had flown several times before, so I never had any problem with flying before. But I developed tinnitus out of that experience, which I still have today. So I knew at that point there's something definitely wrong here, and the ENT brought me back and did a hearing test, which... yeah, there was an issue, but they didn't think it was anything massive. But because I had said I had noticed the change, the consultant referred me for an MRI. And it was only after the MRI happened, and that was in May of 2015, that the diagnosis came that I had a large brain tumour in my head.
The are you back at work now as a guard?
Yeah.
Because... most people, and I myself, when you say you had a brain tumour, or somebody says they've had a brain tumour, they had a brain tumour, to me that's automatically, you know, oh, well, that's it, you know, you're not going to be working anymore, you're going to be too fragile to work, you're going to be, that it's great to hear that, you know, you can actually get through it and get back living your life.
Yeah, well, thank you. I appreciate that. I suppose, look, at my experience is different to everybody else's, you know. Even people with my particular tumour might not have the same results I had, you know. I mean, I had this originally, back in 2015, I had this CyberKnife treatment in the hospital, the Hermitage Hospital in Lucan, and it was, the idea was that was radiation treatment, and they hoped that it would cause the tumour to shrink itself, because the surgery is very invasive, and it also could leave you with facial paralysis as a result of surgery. Unfortunately, the CyberKnife didn't work, and after a couple of years of MRIs every 6 months, you're watching, waiting, you're looking at the scan to see if it's improving, getting smaller, getting bigger. It wasn't showing signs. Initially, they thought it was showing signs. I was getting smaller, and then it showed that it was getting bigger. So, operate, because even though these are benign tumours, they are dangerous and life-threatening insofar as they grow, and they can grow into your brain stem, which then would be life-threatening. So it wasn't a case that I could just continue life and just ignore that was there. I had to deal with it. So we did do, I did do the operation, and that was in January of 2018. And I mean, I'm blessed insofar as I knew I was going to lose my hearing. I knew that that was going to happen. It was unavoidable from the surgery. But if they had, and I mean, this is less than millimetres where all these nerves are touching off each other in the brain, that if they had damaged that, then possibly saying about work, it might not be the same outcome today, because I would have, my face would have looked like I had a stroke, and my eye mightn't have closed, and swallowing might have been a problem. But thankfully, you know, that didn't happen. So that's why, I mean, it's very different for people with tumours, because even though there could be the very same tumours, the outcome could be very different. And then obviously cancerous tumours then are, again, a whole new ball game to a benign. Like when I heard initially that I had a brain tumour, I mean, that's all I heard. Whereas the consultant was like, the most important word is it's benign. But obviously getting a diagnosis of a brain tumour, I mean, it's irrelevant in at that precise second, whether it's benign or cancerous, all you hear is brain tumour. But I've learned that now there's a big difference. And from my experience in Beaumont Hospital, I've learned that, you know, that there is some tumours in the brain that are extremely debilitating. And, you know, so that's what I'm saying. No diagnosis is the same. I'm very lucky, and I realise I'm very lucky. Obviously, I'm not lucky that I have it. There's still some of it there. They couldn't take it all. So I have to monitor it and go back for MRIs repeatedly. But it's just something that I've learned to live with. And I suppose I'm the type of person that always want to work. And I suppose if you have that determination, you will get back there, if you know what I mean.
I do indeed. And just for the listeners, the difference between benign and malignant or cancerous is that the benign one is not going to spread. It's just going to keep growing itself.
Yeah, absolutely.
Where
yeah.
The other one will actually spread. I'm not sure how it spreads, whether it's through through blood or whatever, but it can spread and it can pop up anywhere.
Absolutely. And now, again, I'm not a medical professional, so I don't know, but the actual ins and outs of the way it goes, but that essentially is like a benign tumour. It's a growth. It's growth as such. Now, the only problem is when it goes inside in your brain, I mean, it's a kind of a fused area, you know, with the skull, and that's where the massive danger is. So you have to get it looked at. And I suppose I've learned that, you know, I know we all talk about the brain being, you know, runs the rest of the body, but it's only when something goes wrong up there you realise how much of an effect it has on the rest of the body. Like, my balance would be affected at night time, you know, when it gets dark. I'd find that I'd have to be extra careful walking, because I could fall over very quickly, and that's because I don't have the sight, you know, the same sight that I would have when it's bright during the day, and small things like that that you just have to be mindful of. And but you can manage. I mean, I suppose if you have the will to manage, you will, you know.
Indeed. And not to make light of it, but some of those problems I have myself.
Yeah,
you know,
everyone does. Yeah.
Yeah. The what I was going to say to you there is that, can you maybe tell us, or would you know, what are the kind of warning signs that people should be looking out for?
Well, again, not medical professionals, so, but I suppose for me, the big thing is a change in your body, you know, as in something that doesn't sit right with you. You know, for me, I knew the hearing, you know, it made no sense why I couldn't hear properly anymore. And even though, I mean, the tumour I had is a large tumour, and even the ENT consultant couldn't understand how I had this and wasn't affected more with balance and things like that. But some of them are slow-growing. Mine was a slow-growing tumour, and according to my neurologist, it could have been there up to 10 years growing away in the background. So I suppose you get used to that kind of stuff. But if there is something kind of definitely noticeable in your body that, no, that's not sitting right, then yes, you should get it checked out, because with early intervention for everything is good. But like in regards to brain tumours, nausea, headaches, obviously seizures, yes, you have to look at that straight away. But sometimes it can be very subtle with brain tumours.
And tell me this, were your symptoms, were they sporadic? Were they coming and going?
No, like, no, the hearing was the big thing. I mean, in hindsight, when I look back now, I kind of went, oh, yeah, that must have been, like, I would have played sport and played camogie, and for the last few years in my playing career, I would have been very clumsy around catching balls and trying to pick up balls, and I'd say that was probably due to the balance and with the tumour and stuff like that. But at the time, it didn't register, because, again, it's all very subtle.
And it was over such a length of time that, you know, you just say, well, that's... You don't see it as a sudden change. It's so subtle and so slow going that you don't register it.
That's it. And unfortunately, with people with the cancerous ones, again, I'm not a medical professional. I'm only, from what I saw in Beaumont, I mean, there was ladies on my ward, and they had overnight seemed to have lost the ability to move half their body, and you know, so you know that's the difference between these tumours, is that it's very hard to pinpoint it. But I suppose, I mean, that's why I got involved with Brain Tumour Ireland this year. It's a charity for people who suffer with brain tumours to go and contact and get some support. But I mean, their campaign this year is to try to make GPs more aware, and because, you know, just something to consider. But like that, I mean, just because you have these symptoms doesn't necessarily mean you have a brain tumour either, you know.
Maybe, and because I actually think the things like Brain Tumour Ireland are brilliant ideas. You know, this idea of peer support and letting somebody know who's going through the process that, you know, they're not alone.
Absolutely, yeah.
It's fabulous.
I know for me, when I got diagnosed, I mean, you go for Dr. Google sometimes, which they tell you not to, but I mean, fair play, somebody doesn't, but I did, and I'm sure a lot of people do. But yeah, you can get over information on that one, and you know, sometimes it's nicer to talk to somebody who's obviously been through it. I mean, I'm sure it's the same with every illness, it's not just this, but yeah, you know, your friends and family are great as they are, and mine have been great. You know, sometimes it's nice to talk to someone who actually understands what you're saying when you talk about how tinnitus absolutely drives you mad sometimes and you can't go to sleep at night. And yeah, it's nice to talk to somebody who gets that, you know.
Indeed, and we've got to remember that there's over 400 people every year get a diagnosis of a brain tumour here in Ireland.
Yeah, it's a very humbling experience, you know, for anyone who goes in to see in Beaumont, you know. I suppose it's like everything. We take our health for granted until something goes wrong. And I know for me, like, I mean, I wasn't presenting like somebody who was sick, because I was training for a half marathon. I ran it, I think, 4 weeks before I got diagnosed. It's not like I was sick, you know, and yet they told me about this. And I was floored when I got told that I had it, because never in my wildest dreams did I think that I had something like that.
And I think you're a shining light for people out there who are going through it, to say you can get through it.
Absolutely, yeah.
And you know,
it's not easy. It's not easy, and you will have bad days, and I've certainly had loads, and I still probably will. But yeah, you know, it's important to reach out and look for the support, and Brain Tumour Ireland do offer that, you know, and can put you in contact with people, you know, who like. But it's the same with everything. It's like people who have gone through my illness. You know, some of them have been very unfortunate and ended up with facial paralysis because of of an operation and in bone mountain, then they have to go for further operations. So even though you present with the same condition, it's definitely the roads are different that you have to take, you know. So that's quite difficult, and I can understand why the, you know, the people in Braintree Moran, and sometimes they have to think about who they put in contact, people in contact with, because even though we all have the same, even though we present with the same type of tumour, the symptoms can be very different.
It's about getting the best fit, I take it.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. But I mean, they're always there to offer support and, you know, to help as best you can and answer questions if you have them. And, you know, I found them quite good.
Josephine, I'm not going to keep you any longer.
Thank you.
I know you have a busy schedule. I want to thank you for coming on and talking to us today.
No problem.
And also to thank you for being a guard and looking after us.
Thank you. Don't get that too often.
Well, I think we have to do it out there, because you are the people who are out there that are keeping us safe.
We try.
Now, the other thing I was going to say to you is, if somebody wants to get hold of Brain Tumour Ireland, what's the best way to do that?
Well, you can Google Brain Tumour Ireland, and there's a contact number on it. I don't know it off the top of my head now, but that's how I got contact with them, first of all.
And
now, they were also running a campaign, so if anybody wants to be helpful and raise money, because this is International Brain Tumour Awareness Week, you know, they were running a campaign there for Wear a Hat last Friday. But I mean, I'm sure they'd be very grateful for if anybody wants to donate. They're running a text message thing for BTI to 50300. I'm sure they would be very grateful for the support.
Indeed, they would be. And you know, with 400 people every year being diagnosed, that's over a 10-year period. That's 4,000 people.
Yeah,
out there. So I can guarantee you that we all know somebody.
Absolutely. I'm sure we do. And it's since I know for myself personally that from having it now, people talk to you obviously more about these things, but you know, not every week, but definitely every once in a while, somebody tells me about somebody else with something like, you know, not like what I have, but a brain tumour.
Josephine, thank you very much for chatting with us this morning.
No problem. Thank you, Michael.
All the best, Josephine. Take care.
Thank you. Cheers.
Bye-bye. Now, that was Josephine Dowling, who is a guard from Laois. And she was telling us about how her experience and how she managed through the diagnosis of a brain tumour.